for everybody who has not met RAC yet, this is my friend who worked with me on figurereviews.com, and I've had him on Superhero Time before, too. He's going to sit in with us tonight.
Hi.
Did I miss your name there? I'm sorry. Did we get a name?
RAC.
RAC. Welcome to my parlor of verbal abuse.
RAC has been talking with me over like email and chat for the better part of a decade. He's completely used to that. So
okay, you know. So he's nice and tempered for.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes. Yeah, anything I can say to him, he'll be ready for. Awesome. Well.
And now, through the magic of the Cybernet Space Cube, Radio Free Cybertron, with your hosts JD Church, Ender, XV, and John DeLuna.
And you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. I am not Brian Kilby. I'm JD.
Aren't you glad?
You know, I wake up in the morning and I think, man, isn't it great that I'm not Brian Kilby?
That's why you keep going every day.
That's such a coincidence.
Apparently, if I was Brian Kilby, I would be waiting outside of Rob's house. So,
was he at his house?
A crazy random happenstance.
I don't know, but that was the implication I got, that he was waiting. So if you're wondering what's going on, this is our pre-BotCon show. At this point, half of our crew is either en route, en route, trying to get en route, being cavity searched.
On their way there.
You know.
Half of our crew and most of our audience, from the look of it.
Yeah, probably most of our audience. We're a little early. We're starting a little early today for those that listen to the show live, because we do it live every week. But anyway, so this is our show, pre-BotCon show. We've got Ender, we've got XV, we've got John, and we've also got RAC.
Yeah. That's
welcome.
Me. Hi.
So
you're just gonna have to shout over us, just so you know, RAC.
Yeah. You gotta fight for your scraps here.
Yeah, really.
If you're waiting for me to leave you a place to talk, it's not coming.
RAC has been on Superhero Time, correct? So people listen to that show. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I assume so. We do that show, so I assume people listen. You know, it's a funny story about that, though. I had my instant message ringer on, which is the little d-d-d-d-d from Power Rangers, and somebody heard it, but nobody figured out whose phone it was. It was excellent. All right, now that I've destroyed this show with that story. Anyway, so we're going to talk about...
Yeah, your ability is pretty much gone at this point.
So, we're going to talk about some pre-BotCon stuff, some BotCon stuff, and other news. So
Like if I was at the airport with you and I like looked over and you like had that was your ringtone, I'd just be like, dude, seriously?
Yeah, I do that. It's it's funny. People like it. I like it. So you know,
sad fact is I probably wouldn't recognize it and be like, man, that's a weird noise.
I should be on Superhero Time apparently. Anyway,
yeah,
we can totally go that. That'd be cool.
I'll have to guest on that sometime.
You would be the big thing for that week on Superhero Time, JD.
I could totally go retro. I only
know on Superhero Time. You're a friggin' celebrity, man.
I know, because I'm like from a show that people listen to. So
yeah,
right.
Ouch. God. Sorry. I'm kidding. I kid. It's a great show.
Because you care.
Right. I'm trying to drum up support for it in this show. See, that's what I'm doing. It's a good show.
The subtle thing is that we keep mentioning the name and kind of put it out there as a meme into the vernacular.
It goes out into
even
the ether.
Even though we're making fun of it.
Superhero Time.
Superhero Time.
See, even if it's like Ender saying Superhero Time sucks 57 times, Ender still said Superhero Time 57 times.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
So. Yes, sir.
All advertising is good advertising.
That's right.
Yes. No such thing as bad PR.
Right.
So, Generations Wave 1 in Toys R Us now? Right now?
Now. Today.
Really?
I'll be right back.
I gotta go! So, what is the Wave 1?
There is War for Cybertron Prime and Bumblebee. Also, Generations Thrust and Drift.
Mm. Also known as Change Your Shorts Prime and Bumblebee.
Must have Thrust. Anyway,
yeah, I was really happy to see that come out because I was, you know, after they did the BotCon Thrust a couple of years ago, I was really not expecting to see it. So,
And I had that whole thing where Hasbro was like, "Never!" Until today.
Yeah.
Plus, now you don't have to pay $80 or $90 for Gente Thrust.
Yes, because I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right, me either.
No.
So you wouldn't, because we're paying $80 or $90 for Gentai Thrust, so you wouldn't have to pay $230 for BotCon Thrust.
Yes.
I just pay neither and go without.
Yeah, that's sadly.
My sister's over here, and she heard me say that word and was like, "What did you say?"
tell her it's similar to Henkei.
Right.
Yeah. That's
God.
Just starting this afternoon, there's been sightings in.
And who makes up those words? Come on, Japanese people, work with us here a little bit, all right?
Sightings in New York State, Maryland, Texas, and one other I can't think of off the top of my head. XV nice. Is prepared.
I might have to run out to Toys R Us and see if we got it.
I mean, like, I'm serious. Word wise, does Henke sound any better?
No, it sounds like something to blow your nose with.
Hanky. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, both words are just like, boy, that can't mean anything good, can it?
So
he's not making any friends saying that.
Supposedly, we're going to get Masterpiece Grimlock July 1 or thereabouts.
Yeah, that's the word right now. But, you know, as with any street date, that's going to be completely dependent on someone actually getting it at that time.
Right.
Which means, like, Walmart will have it tomorrow, because
it is a Toys R Us exclusive, you'll remember.
I don't think that matters, on Walmart having it tomorrow, really.
Isn't it kind of odd for Hasbro to
some guy at Walmart at, like, 2 in the morning being like, "Yeah, I was over at Toys R Us, and I picked up this box. Should I put it on the shelves?"
But, yeah, isn't that oddly specific?
Go ahead, Frank.
States?
Yeah, it's something different. Maybe they're trying something different. Maybe they're trying to see if they can actually pull that off for once.
Would be nice.
I guess that would be easier to manage with a store exclusive, since it would be at least vaguely possible for the majority of stores to be given that product within a certain time frame.
And I know TRU has been trying to court the adult toy collector a little bit more. I've seen pre-order slips out for things, which was kind of strange.
Really?
But
well, they have that whole aisle full of sort of weirder, more adult-oriented stuff these days.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Boondock Saints toys I bought at Toys R Us.
They also have that whole aisle full of Digimon and Dragon Ball live-action movie toys.
Isn't that the clear?
Yeah, those are going to be there a while.
Clearance aisle, as I recall.
Yes.
They call that. No, I mean, like, things like the He-Man figures that, like, you know, they said would never be at retail that are at Toys R Us, those are there.
Yes, but they don't have all their accessories, so I guess that counts.
Ghostbusters Mini-Mates, you know, because there's such a demand for those.
Well...
Yes, there is!
if I could get a whole set of the four of them, there would be, but it's like, you know... Like all of Mattel, it's like, let's stock these, so it's like... You can get the first three, but the fourth one's out in wave 12, and they come with, like, you know, Lewis Tully's wardrobe.
Yeah, I've been scraping for a Venkman in that line, and I can't find a plain one. But other than that, I
doesn't
have to
exist.
Say,
it's like that video game in Wayne's World where they're like, the trick is if you get to level 3, you just start over again. You know.
Oh, jeez.
It's sad that even with the distribution problems, the Ghostbusters Mini-Mates still strike me as more accessible than the full figures from Mattel, so.
Store versus Mandy Collector.
Yeah. Yes. I'd rather roll the dice and go to a store any day.
Yeah. Man, America is a country of tire kickers. We want to see the thing, damn it.
Yeah, yes. Really.
Yes.
Let's face it, like, half of us are going to a convention tomorrow just to look in advance at toys we might have to order later.
Yeah, toys under glass.
Yeah.
And can I just express again, how, like, incredibly annoyed I am that I am going to go to BotCon to look at under glass previews of animated toys that I looked at last year and still can't get.
And you're still going to be enamored by them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they're like taking yeah, pictures they'll tell, of them they'll... like they're news.
Yeah, and they'll still give you a straight face when they tell you the new release yeah. date.
This yeah. is still yeah. friggin' Hot Rod. This is still Blackout. Right where I left him. I recognize that little chip in the preview shoulder.
Yeah.
This is the same.
It'll probably be more insulting since it'll be on sale at the Japanese table.
See, you can yeah. tell.
Well, Ender, you can have a Blackout now if you want.
You can tell Ender is really passionate about this because he's getting so into describing his feelings that he is, like, blowing out his audio in the process.
Oh, what else is new? I'm about to put a shoulder through that display and just be like, I'm just taking this, all right?
Yeah. This is mine.
I've looked at it twice, and now it's mine. All right? If I'd seen this in a store twice, I'd have three. Go to hell.
So, hey, that...
I know Greg Lombardo. Give me the tour.
That Transformers so, X's book was
what,
released
What is
just
that?
Recently.
Did I miss
it's
something?
It's a book about the Transformers Exodus, apparently.
Really?
Now, is it the War for Cybertron book?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Oh.
And the other news story that goes with this, if I'm not mistaken, is that the writer has released some short little blurb about how... I don't know if Bumblebee doesn't talk in the book, but apparently the writer thinks there needs to be an explanation of how, like, G1 Sunbow Bumblebee doesn't talk.
What?
Well, is this explicitly G1 Sunbow cartoon Bumblebee?
All right, I have played the whole game. War for Cybertron is Sunbow. Period. It tunes with no other part of the franchise.
Okay.
Now, that's not to their discredit. That's what they were trying to do. The developers of this game sat down with a movie and a whole crap load of episodes and made a pretty faithful version. These
and they got every detail
exactly...
whenever they got interviewed.
No, no, no. Yeah, no, that's just... Well, no, here's the problem. I think then Hasbro came and told them how they'd captured every aspect of the franchise perfectly. This game is like a universe where there was no other Transformers media between the end of Season 3 and this morning. Nothing happened in between. No character development, no other versions. There is nothing. It is the movie and the show. Period. Don't believe me? What color is Rumble?
Oh.
Red.
Not in War for Cybertron. He has a little reticle above his head. It says Rumble, and he's blue.
Well, they got it wrong. They got everything wrong.
No.
Every
interview, they got something wrong. They're not wrong. It's a Sunbow game. It's a game off the cartoon of the movie. They are right as rain. Hasbro can say what the hell it likes. They put Rumble, blue, as a main character, repeating, and put him on national television for 10 years.
Wasn't Alternator's Rumble red?
Doesn't matter. This has nothing to do with yeah. Alternators. It has nothing to do with Robot Heroes. It has nothing to do with anything in between. This is a game from the show. Hasbro is full of crap, and they went and told poor High Moon Studios a big full of crap story about how they'd nailed everything in the franchise. And they were like, woohoo! We did it! And you know what they did? They did what they set out to do. And you can't fault them for that one little bit. But Hasbro and its big push to make everything one story that doesn't make any goddamn sense has now infected this good game. And this writer was either misinformed or is a schmuck and doesn't realize what universe he's writing for.
Oh.
You know, the news story came up and said, like, want to know how War for Cybertron, Bumblebee, you know, stopped talking? No. No, I don't want to know. And you know why I don't want to know? Because he talks all the way to the end of the game. And then they set up for More Than Meets the Eye, the episode I watched 25 years ago. And you know what he does in the first 2 minutes of that? Talks. And then he keeps talking the whole time. Sometimes we wish he'd shut up, but he keeps talking. It has nothing to do with this. Hasbro, you have 20 universes. Get over it. Enjoy it. Love it. Make 15 toys for each version. Make 30 primes a year. It seems to be what you're doing already.
Uh, And on that note,
next topic.
So enough about Exodus.
Don't buy it. Send a message. This person doesn't know what they're talking about.
That was fun.
Yeah.
So this toy customizing thing.
Yeah, that's the toy I wanted in the BotCon set.
What is
it? That's the toy I wanted at retail.
Which toy is it? I missed it.
It's G2 Sideswipe.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, wow.
New plastic colors and everything.
Yeah, it looks really
now
good.
I am sad.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
Now I am confused because it has new plastic colors. That's a first for a customizing class toy.
Yeah, it seems like they're getting more elaborate.
Either
seems
that,
like that class is getting better.
Either that or the class is getting like a sneak preview of a toy that's to be released.
Could we be that lucky?
I got it. No, well, I'll know tomorrow. I'm like the only reporter who goes to the customizing class.
Really?
Well,
really. No, I go there. I went there last year. I just go and take pictures of the thing and talk to people and see what's going on. I think one of the guy who runs it is one of the guys who does DairyCon.
That makes sense. Okay, here's the thing. For like the 50 or so units they would run in these colors for the customizing class would cost like a small fortune. You know, it's not economical in the slightest to do a run that small in new plastic colors. That's why the customizing class toys have always been unpainted retail stuff.
Well, do you know what they get in the customizing classes? They get this stuff on the tree.
Right, but
that's cool.
I mean, like, like you put it together and paint it. Like, you don't have to take it apart or do any of that weird stuff. Like, you get, like, the pieces of the toy.
Right,
you get to trim your own stuff.
Sounds like it's fun.
Cool. It is. I mean, it looks like a tremendous amount of fun. I wish I could get into to do
it. Right,
something.
But it doesn't change the production cost substantially. I mean, yes,
well,
they
gotta be
not
something they
pay
to get the thing put together.
It costs a lot to, you know, change the stuff at the factory to run the different colors. I mean, just to do that costs them.
Yeah, but
it's possible they did a really cool thing and made a super exclusive toy for the customizing class. I would just be really surprised if this was not something that was going to come up again later.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time. Wasn't there
Well, they did
Rampage? Was it like a Rampage made out of
Was it Nightbeat? Oh, they did. Well, they did the dark. They did the
Nightbeat.
Mirror.
It was a
shattered
glass.
Well,
they did, but the shattered glass ones I don't think came out. I thought it was
I mean, this could
I can't remember his name. The Cybertron guy who was the lion.
Cybertron guy. Razorclaw.
Oh.
Yeah, they did Razorclaw as like Rampage, I think. And I think the customizing class did that first.
Plus,
and they were like, wow, that's awesome. And now they got him.
I mean, this could even end up being another club toy, you know. Either that or G2 Breakdown has a hell of a lot of paint on it, and this is the bare plastic colors.
Well, I think what the thing is that with BotCon, technically, even though they're defying it this year already, they have some kind of contractual obligation where they say, like, we are not going to make this exclusive toy for retail. But with the customizing class, if the customizing class people come up with something awesome and people are into it, and Hasbro has every right and no contractual obligation not to just make one.
Well, I mean, look at Overkill.
They hit upon something cool. They're just like, why not?
I mean, this has happened with Overkill already. You know,
yeah, they did Overkill.
The customizing class thing, and Hasbro made a different one for retail. Mm-hmm.
Which I would be just as happy with if it actually happened.
Actually, what was cool last year was they made the customizing class people made stickers that were sort of like the Wings of Honor thing, but were the shattered glass version to put on the toy. And I don't think anybody else had those. Those were kind of an interesting little side note there.
Hmm. Well, I tell you, definitely, if I end up going to BotCon, I want to try to get in on that at some point because that would be.
I think it's only like on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
It's not the easiest thing to attend.
Yeah, but I don't care. I would. I'm going to take off the whole week. Next
Even
year.
Last year, I got there in the middle. So
right, if you're going to BotCon, you can afford to do all the extra cool stuff. There's no reason not to try to get in the customizing class.
Yeah, well,
as this year so well proves.
Yeah,
yeah. No, so, it's a cool thing. I think it's a small thing. You know, you get in there and you really get like individual attention, and they have equipment and. You know, people who really know what they're doing customizing wise who've been doing
it. Yeah, it sounds like a really interesting experience, and if I can ever go and do it, that would be really great.
No, I even just had a good time last year just talking to the guy running it who was just telling me little tips and stuff that I would have never thought of to, you know, even to clean the damn things.
Right, because you got to get the mold release agent off or the paint stick, right?
Getting paint off and, you know, little tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
So, speaking
recolors,
of recolors, we have some limited release. These are repaints from Takara.
Yeah, event
shocking.
Displays.
Yeah, they never do that. That's so weird.
Oh, no.
Man.
A white prowl?
Yes.
The original mold, not the
animated
samurai.
Prowl.
Right.
Animated.
White animated.
Animated prowl in the white?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I didn't even see this. Okay, That's pretty cool.
Is it Ghost Prowl?
Apparently, it's just, you know, white prowl.
Yeah.
It's not like G1 Prowl.
G1
anything.
Prowl. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Is that what it is, or is it like...
I assume so.
Totally into that.
That's what they mean by white, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I never understood an animated. I thought Prowl should have just been G1 colors and had his police stuff on him. Because, I don't know, to my knowledge, most police cycles just look like kind of like police cars.
Oh, he's a ninja, though.
He was for a while, the concept.
Hey, man, ninjas can, you know, Storm Shadow pulls it off.
yeah, but he's awesome.
And the other thing, I never understood, I thought they just should have hardcore just said that Bulkhead was Ironhide and made him red.
Yeah, that would have made sense as well.
Yeah, I mean, they were very different from their original versions, but I thought that really would have played there. I don't see any reason that wouldn't have worked.
The really cool thing that they've announced from this that makes me really mad is they're recoloring Revenge of the Fallen, Mindwipe, and Skystalker as G2, Dreadwing, and Smokescreen.
That's awesome, and I want it.
And you'll never be able to have it for a price you'll pay.
No, God. Here, have my kidney.
Jeez. It's available, I believe, for 2 days.
I think BotCon actually does have a kidney booth up there.
That would be great. They should.
Because buying kidneys.
They need to have like just a little shop set up where it's just like, come in, bring your kidney, we'll give you $10,000, and then go blow it on the dealer's floor. Yeah.
Like 3 bags of ice with that for $2.99?
See guys walking around with like
$5.99 here.
10-pound bags of ice, like, strapped to their side, just walking around, sort of pale.
Well, Overlord!
It makes sense because the, you know, the current Transformers Collectors Club was by the guys who do the, you know, vintage G.I. Joe Club, too, and they're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
Speaking of the dealer room, remember, listeners, I am a sucker, and if you have a rare prime I don't have, we will be at the table in the dealer's
room. Oh, man, easy prey.
Hook him, reel him in.
I am, oh, man.
All right, you heard it here. Ender's your mark.
Yep.
And
now, I have well over 300 primes, so it will be a challenge to find the ones I don't have. But if you do,
you will pay like a premium.
Like the snow globe, the one with snake eyes, those statues. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
any of those
dispenser.
Any of those robot heroes they didn't release? Oh, God. Oh, the pain.
You have the shampoo. Hey, the shampoo
I do have the
prime.
Shampoo. I do have the shampoo prime.
Anyway,
I got one. I had to get another one because the first one stank so bad because they let it rot in there.
Ew.
Yeah.
I put it in the prime cabinet. I had to put it in a little prime cabinet in like this little plastic case that was like meant to be like a display for like a baseball or something. And somebody's in there like, wow, is that like a really special one? I'm like, no, it stinks.
You put it in there in the biohazard container.
I was just like, I don't want it to make, I just wanted to make everything else smell bad. You can smell it from 10 feet away. I washed the hell out of it. It was like ingrained in the plastic.
That'll happen.
It's going to like exert a blob in a few years and just consume us all.
It, you know, it gets in there like cigarette smoke does.
Yep.
I'll finally have all the primes, then we'll just all be eaten by the, like, you know, virus from my bed.
It'll be like Andromeda Strain.
Last
it'll be
few
like
of us
a
hiding out
eating.
In a bunker from the zombies. People will be like, you happy now?
Yes.
See, the great thing about these exclusives from Takara is that they're available for purchase in limited numbers for like 2 days. And that's it.
So there is that.
So and you're sure to never get one.
Leftovers may go up for a limited time on eHobby.
Oh, great.
Yeah. May, if there's
Thanks.
Any left. The third
for
the third limited event set is the Sons of Cybertron Clear Classics Prime and Rodimus set.
There you go. Another Prime for you.
Which is also going to be in limited numbers and may not even be available the second day they're selling it.
No repaints, thank you.
Okay.
And it's the deluxe size classic.
Yeah, keep that in mind, Bicon people. No repaints.
Oh, wow. Darn.
If you come up with something excessively cool, it might pass muster. But overall, I'm happy with the mold I got.
So
the mold in your shampoo bottle?
Yeah, the mold in my shampoo bottle.
Nice.
So
no news this week would be complete without talking about what we've sort of hinted at already, which is that the War for Cybertron finally came out.
I wrote a spiffin' review of it. You can read it.
And I glanced at it and saw that you highly touted it, but maybe you could give us a sort of condensed, like, 3-minute synopsis.
Yeah, tell us about the single-player experience, Ender.
Okay, the single-player experience basically comes down to, like, it's like watching a Sunbow two-parter, but with, like, really awesome graphics. It's really what it comes down to. It's a third-person shooter, and what I have to say is I don't even think High Moon quite realized how well they'd done this, but transformation really is the innovation of the game. Like, it's not the crap that went along with it. They just, they built a third-person shooter and they built transformation into it. But it really does add something to play. And you don't notice it at first. It, like, kind of goes on for, you're just playing with it. You go back and forth and it's like, okay, it's a Transformers game. But you start to realize you're like, I'm in a firefight right now. But at any random moment, hit them with a truck has become one of my options.
I have no idea how much I would like to apply that to my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And when you're doing multiplayer, I mean, like, you're doing, like, capture the flag or, like, some kind of, like, base capture mode, and you realize, like, I can fly across the level should I so feel the need. Now, They should have put that in the demo. That's huge to what's going on. But, they've really well-tuned the balance for that. The only objection I have to the flying thing is I think they needed to do some kind of, like, range or visibility thing to control that. And instead what they did is there is literally an invisible ceiling to several of the multiplayer levels. And invisible walls are instant fail.
Yeah.
So I think they needed to do something about that. I think maybe they just realized too late what they needed to do about it. I think, like, a weapon range or a visibility range thing could have had a similar effect. It could have been, like, go ahead, fly up there, jerkwad. You won't be able to see or shoot anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you get outside of clipping
range.
That's
your own problem, But overall, like, I found it, it took me a while. Like, I was playing for some time before I was like, wow, these transformations aren't just a gimmick. I can really use these to move the game forward and do cool things. And, I think that's one of the things they did really well. I think they captured the essence of, especially, like, the G1 cartoon. And I think the one thing people need to bear in mind who are big Transformers fans is that it's been touted as more than that. And I think that's largely the result of Hasbro kind of being like, we're going to have all one universe and it's all going to be canon. It just doesn't make any sense. This is great G1 cartoon canon. Generally. I mean, it doesn't totally fit the show, but the show didn't even totally fit the show.
Yeah.
So, Jetfire is not frozen in a block of ice, but he is, friends with Starscream. We do see things that make sense within that universe, and we get to see Omega Supreme, and we get to Trypticon doesn't fit with the show. He was, like, built on Earth. And things people need to remember is it being a G1 cartoon show, the Dinobots are not going to be in it. There is no Grimlock. Get over it.
See, I know they should have made the War Within game instead.
Well, that's just it. I think they really kind of referenced the War Within on the back end. But I think what they were doing to move this mainstream was their idea was that if we go with the cartoon, and they're probably right about this, what most people's experience with is the cartoon, which is the only reason why there is Rumble red or blue debate. Yeah. Because, you know, non-familiar people with the overall franchise really only experience that. That's what I say. You really can't blame anybody for that. I mean, I think it's, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
To that. And, you know, War for Cybertron feels that the answer is blue. Rumble is blue.
In the cartoon, so. I always thought he looked purple anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is that. And there's tons of little references to the cartoon. You'll hear lines thrown out from the movie. You'll, you know, little subtle moments. There's a couple moments, you know, they were being very silly about some things, even to the degree where I was like, they'd pop out with something. I'd just be like, that is the dumbest thing I ever. Well, actually, that's kind of cool. Now that I'm doing it, you know,
how many, you know,
things
times,
like, even things like putting the three original Seekers together and just having you play a level as them.
Oh, wow.
That communicates to me an understanding of a lot of the things that make Transformers great. The little things that are, you know,
that's cool,
that are not on the surface that, you know, you wouldn't automatically figure out. And that's the kind of thing they did really well.
So how many
as
times
long as you go in not expecting it to jive with the comics or IDW or, you know, any number of things since, or Beast Wars, God forbid, as long as you just go into it like this is from the cartoon, there's nothing not to enjoy.
Nice.
You know, it's so, a very good game. It's a lot of fun.
So maybe we should buy it then. But
you
I
should
I
all it. Buy it. Everyone should buy it. Even if you're not going to play it, buy it. And if you expect to understand what Hasbro is up to in the next few years without playing this game, you'll have no idea. And Bumblebee talks through the whole thing, so I don't understand what the hell this writer is talking about with him not.
I would buy it.
They clearly, see, you know, this is the thing. This is the horrible thing. This is somebody who, like, watched the movies and was like, yeah, I read a Transformers book. And, like, this thing is, like, completely based off the cartoons, and I bet they won't jive at all.
Okay.
I mean, like, this one thing this writer has said, like, I know, I'll do a little aside as a teaser for my great book. But what he has revealed is that he probably knows nothing about the game at all, and that his book won't go with it at all.
Okay,
and Hasbro really needs to get that together and just accept what they have.
Right. Here's what I'm wondering. For people like with the Xbox 360 who do not pay for Xbox Live Gold, is there replay value in this game without the multiplayer?
Yes, but not a tenth as much as if you had Xbox Live Gold.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't say there's none. I mean, I played through the game. I have every intention of playing through it again.
The campaigns, the story and the missions in the campaign are enjoyable.
Well, it's honestly, I'd say it's an important moment in Transformers fiction history. And I think, too, the other thing to note is really that the only other franchise I can think that's ever gotten this treatment is Star Wars. It's the only other franchise I can think of that somebody was, you know, in an earnest way just being like, you know what? We should just make a video game out of this that has nothing to do with any existing media. It's not a rehash. You know, it's not a tie-in.
What Star Wars game was that?
TIE Fighter, X-Wing, most of the Battlefront, really. No, really. I mean, like, these are games that were made to be games. This is what I'm talking about, a game that was made to be a video game, that was not to promote some other piece of media, not an aside.
I got what you're saying. You know what I mean? Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Most high-end games are made almost just as advertising.
So what you're saying is a game where you're not playing through an existing story.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too, it's a very different preposition to approach a game and say, I'm going to make the characters, the story, the environments, you know, everything that goes on to be played as a game, as opposed to saying, I am going to take this thing that was meant to be viewed as a movie or a TV show with the cast that was meant to be viewed as a movie or a TV show and, you know, just push it into a game format. That's
right.
It's an entirely different preposition, and very few franchises have ever gotten that kind of treatment. And like I said, Star Wars is like the only one to come to mind. I mean, even, you know, what's Star Wars mainly doing right now? The Force Unleashed. that's like an in-between thing. You know, all those things that come in between or go before Knights of the Old Republic, all those things, those are fantastic games. And they are – they were made independently of the media that spawned them. And War for Cybertron is such a thing. It's very related to that old show, but that's just it. It's not touching anything we've gotten in 25 years. I mean, like, if this game came out with, you know, in, like, 1985, it would be a tie-in. I mean, that's about the closest you could say.
So, okay. Well, awesome. So we will hopefully check
that
out.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction. It'd be great to see where they go with it, and hopefully we'll get to see some more Transformers games that really do that. And, you know, this is a silly thing, and I bet almost nobody's played this, but that game that came out on the iPad and the iPhone is actually kind of thing where it's like they were really doing something independent of trying to sell another piece of media.
Yeah, it was just a G1 homage, really.
Yeah, so. It's a phone game, so it's kind of hard to hold it on the same level.
Right.
But,
yeah, a little different.
But it is still the same idea. And it's interesting to see that Transformers has reached that level, because I really do think it is something that is a franchise on the sort of, you know, not the size of Star Wars, but it's something that is a little more complex that you can't just, you know, pigeonhole into like, okay, it's just this thing and we do this thing every time and it works. I don't think it's that simple. So anyway, I'm glad to see it get that kind of thought and recognition.
I have to say, I really wish the demo had some of the single player experience, because the game you're describing sounds totally different from what I tried.
You're so right. I even said this in my review a little bit. The demo does not tell you what this game is like at all.
Yeah,
it
did
one little bit.
Okay, that's kind of encouraging for me. I'm glad to hear that.
People kept coming back to me like, I played the demo and you said it was awesome, and now it seems like crap. And I played the demo and it's just like, yeah, this is like a tiny little corner of what the game is, and it's not even showing it in a good light.
They
would have been better off not to release that demo.
Yeah, because I've talked to three or four people who have played that demo, and for them, WFC stands for waiting for clearance.
Like, no, it should.
Yeah.
It really should. That was not a good – it wasn't even a good example of multiplayer. That was the horrible thing. It was, you know, I really feel like you need to play the game and get a feel for it to play multiplayer properly, and that multiplayer demo did not show you what multiplayer was like. I don't know how the hell they managed that. But let's just say, you know, the thing is, like, it's a very, like, precision balanced thing. You know, I went to High Moon, and they told me, like, oh, yeah, we get on, you know, every day at 5 o'clock, we all stop what we're doing, and we go play the current version of multiplayer to fine-tune it and do this. In fact, in some ways, I feel like they over-tuned it. But that's just it. They, like, took two of the four things out of there so it could be a demo. It was like, and, you know, what happens when you remove, you know, 50% of a finely tuned machine?
Nothing good.
Doesn't work, you know? Yeah. It's like, okay, so we're shooting at each other, and we're robots, and, yeah. No, I mean, that's not what the game's about. You know, that's not what the Transformers is about. I mean, like, anybody, I defy the whole idea of, like, Transformers is giant robots hitting each other. It's not, and neither is this game, and that's why this game is.
We can talk
and that
about
demo,
that week.
Demo was giant robots hitting each other.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, okay, whatever. Okay.
Yeah, actually, I found the most effective tactic in that demo to get in and do melee. The ranged weapons didn't help me very much at all.
Well, you know, I think initially when you play the multiplayer, that can be very true. But I've noticed as people get more skilled, that's not working anymore. Come looking for it. So it is kind of like, wow, I can just go up and hit them. And then it's like, wow, I only get halfway there. You know, like, so that'll change, I think, in the next few weeks.
Awesome. Well, let's take a
break.
There
was once or twice I clearly felt like I ran into a team of developers. If you can do all the things the different classes are meant to do, you are an unstoppable juggernaut. And it was like, All right, there's no way somebody in 3 days figured out how to do what you four people are doing, and they would plow through and be like, yeah, that's High Moon killing us.
Well, awesome. All right, well, let's take a break, and we will be right back.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. Superhero time, Power Rangers, Masked Rider, Super Sentai, and lots of burning justice. Check out Superhero Time at tfradio.net. Superhero time, here we go.
Over 3,000 photos, more than a dozen different toy lines, 6 cameras. How do you measure 5 years? FigureReviews.com brings you in-depth reviews and the best toy photography online. Join RAC and XV for quality toy reviews, photography, and just plain awesome. FigureReviews.com.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
And we're back. Welcome. In the interim, we have lost Ender. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is our pre-BotCon show, so we're sort of getting into that mode, thinking about BotCon. A lot of people are already on their way there, so we're a little streamlined tonight. But what we wanted to talk about and kind of discuss is maybe some of the things that we either want to see, hope to see, or anticipate seeing being released from BotCon and them or being released from Hasbro and them announcing at BotCon. So what are some contenders?
Thundercracker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That's true. Anything classics related, I am all for.
So some generations.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to finally finish that set.
It would.
But that's pretty inevitable, don't you think, at this point? He's going to come out somehow, somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, they're so close to having the core six that they're going to finish it out any way they can figure to do it.
Hopefully something relatively accessible, but...
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully something, maybe like a two-pack or something here or there. A store exclusive.
I could live with that. You know, something more accessible than BotCon or Gente would be great.
Yeah, really.
By which you mean anything.
Right.
Those are like the two worst possible ways to release something.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I can understand also everybody is really wanting to see a Jazz and a Wheeljack.
Yes.
You know,
a Wheeljack especially.
I mean, the two don't really do a whole lot for me specifically, but I understand the desire, just like I want to see the last of the Jets come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, those characters have their fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's understandable.
Plus, I mean, you're so close to a complete set of the Autobot cars, just like we are with the Jets, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you actually look back at all the classics or... the toys that can slide into classics that were kind of intended for classics. There's been a of those since classics started. Classics is really, however you want to call it, classics, but the toy line is pretty big at this point. So they've done a lot with it.
Yeah, it really has grown since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for what was supposed to be a small filler line, it's really expanded out into something very formidable against my shelves.
Well, yes. It's just, I mean, it gives them something that is appealing to a wider audience because, I mean, most people who aren't fans are still going to see that, and especially if they're buying stuff for their kids, they're gonna be like, oh, this is just like the one I had when I was a kid. Here you go, son. You know, so that's an easy sell.
It's just like the one I had when I was a kid, and it's twice as big.
It's twice as big and 500 times more poseable. What about maybe, I mean, obviously we're going to see a lot of the stuff for Power Core Combiners. I know a lot of that's going to be out, so there's no real big surprise with that.
Yeah. They may show subsequent stuff for Power Core Combiners. You know what? Based on how much they talk about Power Core Combiners, it'll probably give us an idea of how big that line will be. You know, like how many more toys we can expect, and like how much firepower and how much effort they're going to put behind that line. Because I don't know if we really know like how big of a line that's going to be, or you know, how long we'll see that on shelves. But maybe we'll have a better idea after this year's BotCon.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, this will be the first time those are going to be sort of in the viewing eyes of the mass of Transformers fans, so we'll probably get a little bit better idea of how they're going to be received.
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha, the mass of Transformers fans.
Yes. In the heat and humidity of Orlando, it's going to be awesome.
Man. It is really a good thing that they have that balanced out with like people that don't smell of old cheese. Because, man, in all the heat and humidity and the oil slick down there, it's just going to be...
It hasn't reached Disney World yet.
I thought you were talking about the one in Disney World.
No. Yeah, well, if it's not there before, it'll be there after. So,
do you think it's too early to be seeing Transformers Prime toys at BotCon?
Ooh, I would hope not.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, that might be one of their big surprises,
isn't it?
Yeah,
I think so.
You know, didn't they show the animated toys at the BotCon immediately preceding Animated's premiere?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think so.
I figure it's going to be the same situation this time.
Yeah, and it's interesting since we already have like a vague idea of basically what they're going to look like. So, I mean, I don't know if we're going to see like movie toys crossed with animated styling. You know what I mean? Because we've seen Bumblebee's design, so it'll be interesting to see kind of what the toys look like, if they do look like the love child of movie toys and animated toys.
Right, and you know, from the animated concept art that was out before that BotCon, and nobody could figure out how they would make transforming toys out of that, you know, for as surprised as I certainly was at how they managed to accomplish that, it's going to be real interesting to see how they adapt the Prime designs into plastic.
Yeah, especially considering those are designs that people have seen before. I mean, they're going to be to the average buyer, kind of the lay fan, the layman, it's going to look like movie toys again, probably. So they're going to have the challenge of trying to make them look familiar, but different enough that people don't just like walk by them and think, ah, it's just more movie toys. I've already got like three or four Bumblebees that look like that.
Right.
Because they do.
Because they like do, yes.
No, I mean, I think we've been... I mean, I think there's been so much that's been teased over the last few months. You know, I'm kind of curious. I mean, maybe some exclusives. I'm sure that there'll be some repaints. But, I mean, there were some surprises, I guess, last year. You know, even going into, you know, things that we didn't expect that was coming out. You know, like Straxus or whatever they're calling him, Darkmount. So, you know, I mean, are we anticipating maybe more things like that?
You know, on AllSpark, someone suggested that a surprise at BotCon might be a Generations Blaster. You know, just because of how lovingly Darkmount was fashioned after the comics, it's not a far stretch to think they would put a blaster out to go with that.
That's true. And even, like, say, War for Cybertron Soundwave looks incredibly classic-y.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like at every turn they kind of try to slip in something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised. I actually, now that I think about it, I think Transformers Prime may be like the big surprise thing. I mean, for all we know, they may show some clips of the show and then do a pretty big splash on the toys. Because for, like we said, for a show that's going to debut in a matter of months, we've got like nothing as far as like the toys go.
I mean, there's not even been factory leaks from China, which is surprising if the stuff is anywhere close to being ready to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, typically even that will have been. But yeah, I think you may be onto something there, John. I think that may be the big debut, which would be awesome. And keep in mind that we're gonna be having semi live shows. There's gonna be field reports during the course of BotCon. So this is sort of our pre-show, but hopefully we'll be able to still walk into the live stream and get this stuff going out as well. And we'll be doing all of this during the course of BotCon. So if it does happen, you'll be here. Of course, if you're listening to the show on the podcast, it might be up tomorrow night. So,
if we can get the issues worked out in the meantime, we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, but we'll definitely be doing some field reports this weekend and reporting back. If nothing else, news to the site, but definitely we're going to try and put some news out. So if you do see that there, you're going to hear about it here. So be sure to tune in.
Right.
Yes.
But yeah, it makes sense that they would probably try to use BotCon to hype Transformers Prime. That's actually a really good point.
Yeah, because they sure as heck haven't hyped it up until this point.
No.
So you would hope that if like this lull or this lack of hype is intentional, that they've saved it up to do it all at once. And this would be the time to do it.
That would be excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
No, it's a good time to debut it to the fan base,
Because,
I mean, this is the big time of the year to actually be able to do that. You can at Toy Fair, but it was so early they wouldn't have had anything ready to go.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, at the same time, they've got a network to hype, too. So this is going to be one of the shows that they expect to kind of carry the ratings probably for the first, at least the first couple years, 2 or 3 years. And so, I mean, they've got to get and the hub is really nostalgic, like incredibly nostalgic. So they really need to get the fans of those properties really hyped up. So at some point, they've got to do something for Transformer fans and for G.I. Joe fans. And, again, why not at the convention for those fans?
Right. It makes total sense. It's the perfect opportunity to get a lot of attention onto this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
with the way BotCon is now, it's a much bigger mainstream event than it was originally.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, and actually, I mean, there are even like families come now.
Yeah, I mean,
granted, 10 years ago we didn't have families.
Now we do. Right.
Lots of us do. So you go.
Right. It's just it was something that you didn't even think of happening with BotCon as it once was.
Right.
So.
You come with yourself and maybe your IRC channel, and that's just it. But now you bring your wife and kids with, too.
Your IC, there was more than one? I didn't know this. So, awesome. All right. So, this is our show. This has been RFC, again, our semi-abbreviated pre-show, even though I think we've pretty much done a full show.
A little short, but it's okay.
Nah.
It's a little short to be a stormtrooper, but it'll get by.
There you go. We'll just throw in the other references there. So, for all your BotCon coverage, in particular this weekend, or hey, any of your Transformers coverage, whenever, please go to the website tfradio.net. You're going to find information on all of our shows there. That's going to include Superhero Time. It's going to include New Soundwave, which we also do live every week right after this show. And it's hosted by me. You're also going to find... Just like this show, apparently. Outside the Cage, our comic book show, which is also a lot of fun. And that's Fanboy Versus. And that show might even go up in the next few days. So who knows? So anyway, go to the website, check it all out. Join us this weekend. Keep checking us because you never know when we might go live and have field reports for BotCon, which is this weekend. John, you are there or you are en route?
I am there. I am here live from Dolphin.
So see, we're already reporting live from BotCon.
Yes, technically. We've been doing for the last hour we've been live from BotCon.
Awesome.
That's so excellent. And you're going to be high-fiving.
It's magic.
And you're going to be high-fiving Stan Bush, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
violently.
Yeah. So keep in mind, we do.
I may knock him over.
We do have the Project Awesome going on, in which you want to make sure you get a picture of yourself. If you are at BotCon, get a picture of yourself high-fiving Stan Bush. If you're not there, hey, get Photoshop. Photoshop yourself a picture high-fiving Stan Bush.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be honest.
And are we actually doing something for this? Are we giving something away? I can't remember.
I have no idea.
No comment. No comment on that. We'll let Brian talk about it.
Just do it, and we'll let you know the details later.
No promises. We'll figure that out later. No promises, but you might want to do that because it is Project Awesome.
We could make promises, and then Kilby would be obligated to follow through on them.
Yeah.
Then I have a feeling. Away a car.
I have a feeling that we would be obligated to carry through on it then, so I don't want to.
I kind of like John's idea. Get a picture of yourself with Stan Bush and be entered to win in a random drawing for Brian Kilby's car.
That's right. It may be an animated RC toy.
Car may not actually be included as a prize.
Yeah. Right. Car may be 4 inches long.
So, yes. So, anyway,
so,
again.
Radio Free Cybertron.
So, anyway, and for those of you who are in the live stream now, please hang on, stay tuned. Thank you again for joining us. And stay tuned because we are going to be live with New Soundwave here in just a few moments. But to all our listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us, and we will be seeing you this weekend at BotCon.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.
Okay, gentlemen, that break marks the end of my available time this evening.
That's
about like 20 minutes ago. What else is up?
No, that's fine. We were just going to talk about what you want to see at BotCon, but you're probably... gonna see the same
I'm going
stuff
to BotCon, so I want to see. You know what I want to see? I want to see that stuff that I saw last year go to retail. That's what I want to see.